All right, welcome to our 11th episode. I'm Matt, living in Switzerland.
I'm Guy, living in Cyprus.
And this is episode number 11 of Up on Foil, our podcast where we talk all about foiling. And today we have a special guest, and I saw some videos online. I would say he's the OG. He was called the godfather of pump foiling in Switzerland. His first Dock Start videos came out 4 years ago, or at least that's what I found on YouTube. He was the teacher of probably hundreds of people. And if you talk to someone in the Lake Zurich area, you hear his name. He was an ambassador of Indiana, but changed to a more sustainable brand. That's what I heard. Zeno, thanks for being on. Do you have anything to add? Did I forget anything?
Well, we will probably evolve in the discussion or in our audio recording so about some other stuff. What is important for me in the pump foiling community is that, or how I started it was that I was sharing the board, right? And I was at the dock in September 2020, and two people turned up. That was Philip and Sarah, and they were like asking what I'm doing, right? And I started sharing the board with them, and they came back for a couple of months. And they were always using the board for free. And that's basically how the community got started in 2020 when we started pump foiling in Tiefenbrunnen. And after that, once they reached a minute, let's say February or March 2021, they started buying their own equipment and they continued pumping. They also started sharing their equipment with other people. And they then also became Indiana ambassadors. And that's also how the chat group started. The people who were sitting there at that dock at Tiefenbrunnen, it started with Janja and Rim, and then Sarah, and then the other people joined. I think Andreas Eckenberger, he then came up and said, okay, let's do a chat. And we just started adding the people.
So that's a WhatsApp chat. Is it the Zurich pump foil community?
Yeah, exactly. That's the Pump Zürich, the original Pump Zürich chat. And from there then, out of that chat, a lot of people developed their own entrepreneurial skills, right? So some people started instructing, so like Andreas Kohl, Surfco on Instagram, he shapes boards since a long time, but he's now also selling a lot of boards. A lot of people evolved out of that. They developed their entrepreneurial spirit. And that's something I find very interesting, that this group has always been very open to all kinds of different brands, different people. It is also by far not the only chat in Switzerland.
Yeah, there are many. Let's before we get into these different chats and maybe the different areas as well, the different communities, let's talk about you first. As I said, that the first video I saw online from you, not the first video, but the first video about pump foiling was 4 years ago. How did you get into water sports in the first place?
I started, sailing when I was about 12. And then I got into catamaran sailing, Hobbycat 18 Magnum. From Hobbycat 14 to Hobbycat 18. And then I started windsurfing. And when I was 18, I went to IER for windsurfing. And that's where I also met other windsurfers like Maurus, the founder of Indiana. Together with Andreas Eckenberger, he went to school with Maurus. And then in 1979, I worked as a windsurfing instructor in Coralejo for 6 months at Flag Beach.
Nice.
After that, there I met Marcus, and Marcus has a son, and the son of Marcus is also an ambassador at Indiana now. He's a stand-up paddler, and he's also an ambassador. And after me, after I worked there, also Gunnar started working for Ben Thomas in Coralejo at Flag Beach. So that's kind of a very interesting historic perspective how a lot of connections also went through Coralejo. And after the winter in Coralejo, I moved to New Zealand for half a year to Wellington. And there I was just basically doing odd jobs and surfing. So being in the water at morning at 6 o'clock and just catching the waves for 4 hours and then going to clean some cinema or whatever, and then next morning back into the water.
How come that you came back to the cold weather?
Good. Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, my family is here. And then if I fast forward to 2020, right, when I started wing foiling, I was like, when I saw this pump foil video from Leonard Berner and Steve Fleury, I was like, damn, for this, I've been waiting all my life. For this sport, I've been waiting all my life because you can do it in Switzerland, right? And you can always do it. When it rains, when it snows, when the sun shines, when the sun doesn't shine, there is no excuse that you can't go pump foiling. I developed a very big intrinsic motivation to do this sport. How should I say? Get other people addicted to the sport. And it's also, for me, it's also a very, very therapeutic sport. So people that are hyperactive, like myself, like ADHD people, you have to develop this autistic hyperfocus when you jump onto the board, right? These 3 seconds when you jump onto the board, you really have to focus. And in that moment, your main brain, your cerebrum, it resets, right? You can't think of anything else. And that's why I think it's also very good for kids. And that's why I also developed these classes in the school at Sportdam Zürich. We do indoor pumping now. So yesterday I had a class. And the kids are between 6 and 14 years old, and they love it. They love it's just a pool, 17 by 25 meters, and they start on their belly, they go on their knees, and they don't stop. they always want to continue. I have to really say, okay, now the lesson is over. We have to leave because the next people are coming.
That is super interesting. Are you a teacher? Is that what you do outside of foiling?
No, outside of foiling, I am, how shall I say, I run a software business and we compare drug prices between original drugs and generic drugs. And one of my main ideological frames or ideological paradigmas are that principles is open source, right? So all the software that we write at YVC, it's everything is open source. Everything is on GitHub. Everything is either GPL2 or GPL3. And this is something I also try, this idea of being open source, I try to transport into the foiling community. So that's one reason why I don't only want one chat in Switzerland. I don't only want one brand in Switzerland. And I really think it's important that people who are sponsored by a brand, that they can also try out other stuff, because this is how the brand evolves, right? And this is how, like the Linux kernel, that's how it evolved, right? Sharing is caring. And if you look at nature doesn't really have boundaries in terms of, you always learn something from each other, right? And this whole intellectual property stuff doesn't create a lot of innovation.
Absolutely beautiful.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I really like what you said in terms of sharing the equipment, because it's something expensive, and especially at the beginning, like I guess that you were literally the only one probably in Switzerland, or at least in your area, having a foil, and like it's not something that everybody has access to. So I really this sharing, because at the end of the day, probably 99% of people who got into pump foiling or foiling in general started because someone else let them try their foil. So it's fundamental that there are people like you, like yourself, and probably like Matt and myself as well, who let other people try. Because, you know, yeah, it's cool if you see it from outside, but then you only really get addicted when you try it for the first time. So yeah, really, really, really cool what you did there in Zurich. I wish there were more people like you around the world, because if that was the case, I guess that the sport would be way, way more diffused.
Yeah, I think if you look at different areas, right, when you develop something new and you are in this garage kind of mindset feeling, and you test new stuff. I mean, in the 2020-21, I mean, like Coal Surf Co. Reyes, he would be there at the parking lot, and his whole car was full of stuff for tinkering, right? So he was already building his own foils. Now he's building his own boards, of course, and he's selling them. But this whole spirit of like other pump foil students of mine, they say it's like the beginning of snowboarding, right? The beginning of snowboarding, everything was very, I don't know, very authentic, very, it was just a very tight-knit group. But there was no Instagram and there was no YouTube and no podcasts when snowboarding started. There was this also didn't exist when windsurfing started, right? So I watched a video of Robbie Nash the other day where he said, it's crazy. We have 30 years of development in windsurfing. And now we have this foil stuff going on and it's like developing in real time, right? You make a video, you show something, the other kid or person sees it and boom, already the next innovation is there. And that's what makes it so amazing, what makes this foil thing so amazing. But at the same time, everybody needs to have these 200 to 300, or I don't know, 1,000 starts until they can pump. I mean, I taught André Raghetli, I taught David Hablützel. They are both Swiss Olympic skiers. They do triple loops in the half pipe. I mean, they do crazy stuff in their sport, right? But even these super talented sports people, they had it to do 200 to 300 starts until they could pump foil.
You said that you taught André Raghetli. Did he manage to do it? Did he like have the perseverance to continue, or did he have to go back to skiing?
No. He's I don't know how much he now still pump foils, but I'm sure he reached a minute, right? He also done a video where he shows his pump foiling skills in this lake in Flims, this beautiful lake. What was interesting about André was that you could really see how he already has a very well developed autistic hyperfocus. I mean, the moves that he does, right? He really has to focus and has to be concentrated. So when I was with him at the dock in Erlenbach, you could tell him two, three things, and he would like be calm, think, and then go.
Yeah. Plus, he's probably so good in coordination due to what he did that it's easier for him to adapt and like what you say transform into the actual movements.
Yeah. But I mean, also the kids, if you look at the kids, I mean, the Von Roll brothers like Matteo, right? I got to know him before he could pump. And now if you look at him, what he does, it's like, it's amazing, right? And that's why I'm so interested in also teaching the kids, right? I want to teach the kids at the most possible early age. First of all, I like being with children. And second of all, it's amazing how their mind is completely unlocked, right? It's not tied down by paradigmas and principles and stuff like that. They just try, right? You give them one tip, if it's a good tip, they will be very happy.
I have a question about teaching kids, especially because you have kids of your own, I saw in the video. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, they are 12 and 14.
And what is the difference between teaching to your own kids compared to teaching other kids, like at the Sport am Zürich?
That's the classic, right? I mean, not everything that the father or the mother does is cool for the own kids, right? So the father is often a fucking idiot. There is also the aspect of, can I do this? Because if I teach other kids, they see that other kids can do it as well, right? And in terms of teaching other kids, it's like, it really depends on the motivation of the kid, right? It depends on the age. It depends on what other sports they do. Teaching another kid is like, of course, you don't have a personal relationship to him or her, and you have to develop that. But if it's a kid that you feel is more hyperactive or intrinsically motivated to learn a sport where you have to have a lot of coordinational movements going on, she or he is going to be hooked immediately. And again, one thing I learned in the beginning when I taught, right, I always held the board and I practiced the steps like left, right, jump on, land back foot first, and then you pump. And then I had this course in the pool and I couldn't do that in the pool. And I was like, okay, now we have to change this. And I started going on the belly. And now with everybody, also with the beginners, so we have 5 instructors at the Eisfeld set now. All courses are completely booked out. And also with the adults, I go 20, 30, 50 times on the belly. If they manage to glide on the belly, they go on the knees, and then we do belly knees. And then only we go on the legs or on the feet. Sorry.
That is super interesting, I think, the different approaches. Because the belly thing, when I have a son as well who wants to start, and I told him as well, go on your belly to feel that glide. But then, like, he struggled to get on the knees or continue. So with someone else I started 2 weeks ago, he said, or we started on the legs, actually, with this running start where you can still hold your board when you're on your feet. And well, they're different paradigmas. I'm very interested in how you do it on your belly and then how they can change or jump from the belly to the knees and then to the feet. Is that a long thing or is that just one, two steps and then one kid does it, the other ones follow?
That's a nice thing about pump foiling, right? It's a highly individual sport. So everybody learns at his or her own speed. And there are three things I always say when I teach. First is no expectations. Second is no ambition. And the third is, it's like, this is more for adults. Kids do not quite understand that. It's like matrimonial therapy, right? If you are in therapy with your wife or your husband, then you can't tell your wife or your husband what to do, right? You can only work on yourself. So you can only improve yourself. So you can't tell the board what the board should do. So you have to put your ambitions and your expectations. You have to lower them. And then you have to do these small incremental changes, how you yourself can improve to so you don't crash on the board, right? And some kids, as soon as they have found their intrinsic motivation and their own speed of learning, they will go step by step, right? But if they think if there's one kid there and he or she is super talented and she's a good skateboarder or a good snowboarder, of course she will be or he will be a little bit more talented than the other kid. But then it's important for the other kid just to tell the kid, look, if you can't manage to go on your knees yet, don't go on your knees. Just go on your belly. Do another 20, 30, 40 tries. And then you start working. You start like fighting with yourself, right? You start dealing with your own character and you start to get to know your character better. And that's when you start to self-improve and you become more proficient in pumping. So the kids, they learn from each other and they copy from each other. But it's also important that you basically don't have any expectations. Just go with the flow and just enjoy the moment, the glide, right? And that's, you see with a lot of kids, once they glide, then the addiction starts, right? They want to have this glide feeling. They want to be able to glide longer, right? And as soon as they can glide, then it clicks and then they will start changing positions, right?
So you said that everybody has a like learns on his own or her own way. So like do you adapt the process, the learning process according to how they're learning, or you still stick to the same process? For example, if you see someone who's like more prone to, I don't know, like give me some examples, because for sure you know better than I do.
For example, you have, I mean, in the adults course ISFAT set, right, you have people there, skateboarders, right? And some of them, they're like, you know, no, I don't want to go on my belly and I don't want to go on my knees. And of course, I won't tell them you have to do 100 tries. If they say I want to go on my feet, then I let them go on the feet. But if I see that they crash all the time and they don't have the feeling for the foil, I say, why don't you just go one step back and go on the belly again, right? Till you feel safe. And some people, they immediately understand and they will go on the belly and on the knees again and again and again. And then slowly they stand up. I really think that each individual has his own speed of learning, right? And you really have to, and that's the fun thing about teaching, that you have to find their character. You have to find their, you know, the first thing I also ask is, what are your sports you used to do as a kid? So if you have an adult, he's 30 years or she's 30 years old, I ask them, what sports did you do as a kid? Did you do floor gymnastics? Did you do skateboarding? Did you play tennis? Any balance sport? Did you do dancing, karate? What did you do? And then you have the people who say, okay, I've done this floor gymnastics. And then I know, okay, somebody who done floor gymnastics, they have very good control of their body, right? And that you then can see. But again, they have never been on a foil. So they have to, if they're being used to be good at a sport and now all of a sudden they have to be on the foil, they can be ambitious, right? So I had one skateboarder, he was super ambitious. He was going like crazy and he was putting too much energy into the start. You don't need a lot of energy. When you jump on the board, right, you have to do about 12 to 15 things you have to do right at the same time. It's not a lot of running. It's not you have to be very fast. You just, the combination of the factors, the foot position, the weight, the body position, all of those factors have to be right when you land on the board. and he was just going too hard. So the last try, he crashed on the side and he was like, oh, I have to go to the hospital. I have to go to the hospital. I have to go to the emergency room. And 1 week later, he was back in the course. So what happened was he was so ambitious. He was like cramping up his whole body and putting too much energy in, right? And that's why I also say when you practice pump foiling as a beginner, it's better that you practice longer and you have more breaks between the tries, right? So you do a pump, your pulse is up, you have to swim back, you crashed, you have to swim back, your pulse has to go down again. When your pulse is down, then you do the next try. Don't go from high pulse to high pulse because then you also don't have any concentration.
Totally, yeah. You said right, yeah. Like the concentration factor is fundamental. Like the same applies for like not only at the beginning, like even if you have a little bit of experience and you want to progress, if you're in a rush, it's not going to work. You always have to take your time because, yes, you need to give yourself some time to rest, not only at a heart rate level, but also, as you said, at a concentration level. You need to reset your mind a bit, to understand what you did wrong so that you can actually improve the next trial and you just don't... go over and over randomly, because then, as you probably know again better than we do, you also develop bad habits if you just go without actually being aware of what you're doing, right?
Yeah, you basically then get into a vicious cycle, right? If you fail and then you're angry at yourself that it didn't work and you start cursing and kicking the board and whatever, then you get into the vicious cycle and then your temperament takes over and then every try is like, it doesn't work anymore, right? That's why it's such a good mental training as well. I mean, of course, in tennis, you know, Roger Federer, he used to break rackets. In golf, you know, you have to concentrate when you hit the ball, right? But if you like water sports, this pump foiling is such a nice sport that you can always do when there's some water. And it's a very good, it's like, how should you say? It makes no sense, right? Why do you pump? You just fall in the water all the time. That's exactly it, right? You make something that is only good for yourself and nobody else, right? You pump for yourself. And that's why it has such a high therapeutic value, I think. Because you do something that has no value to somebody else. It only has value to yourself.
And it's so much fun if you get it. And as you said, that foiling sensation, that flying sensation, it's really addictive. I have two questions, actually. One is the safety aspect, because these foils, we talked about it, are knives. And if you work with your own kids, yeah, you're in charge. But if you have other kids from other families, then it's probably a different thing. And the second part is this pool. Maybe you can show us some images later on, or maybe some videos. How is that set up? There's no dock. Is there like this diver's springboard where you start from, like in Tiefenbrunnen, or how is that set up?
No, in the pool, in the Schulschwimmanlagen, you have these little start ramps that about, I don't know, 30, 40 centimeters over water. And that's where the kids jump from when they swim, right? And so basically you hold the board. We had it to the city of Zurich built some plastic, thin sheets of plastic that you hang over these starting ramps. So the foil, the fuselage that touches the tiles doesn't scratch the tiles, right? So the foil basically just points forward. You hold it, you go into the knee position, and you jump onto the board belly first or onto the knees, right? And now I have like one kid, he goes knees, two or three pumps on the knees, and then he stands up, right? And then, of course, the pool is finished. In terms of cutting, right? I mean, I have... all the hundreds of people I have schooled, I had maybe one or two cutting accidents. Now, one cutting accident was in Greece, where a guy was like, okay, I can do this. And I go, okay, you want to try? Yes, I want to try. He went back to the boat. He drank a couple of beers and he came again. I was also not fully focused on the student, but then he was put too much energy in and he fell with his hand on the stabilizer. And of course, he had a little cut and that needed some stitches. The other accident was when I was in Tiefenbrunnen and I had taught a group of ladies in Eisfahrtzeit. They came back, they rented their gear. You can rent pump foil gear at Surfari in Zurich, right? And they rented, they knew the drill, how it works. And then one of the boyfriends came and he was like, I can do this. And too much energy in and he crashed on the foil, right? And of course, then you have to get stitches, right? So that's why in the beginning, no ambition, no expectations, go onto the belly first. If you teach a newcomer at the beach, always make him or her go on the belly 20, 30 times until she really glides 10 meters. And then tell him or her, go on the knees. And then you can do next. And it's also, of course, in the beginning of the sport, right, you have only the freaks that join the sport. So then you can say, okay, we can go on the legs. These are only the freaks that come. But now the whole sport is becoming mainstream. So we need to adapt the technique how to teach the newcomers. And what is very important there, what I feel is that the newcomers, that they do not hurt themselves, right? No accidents. And that's very important with the kids. If the kid has one accident, he or she will not come back, right? If they hurt themselves, they will not come back. And that's why I just say, guys, come on, just glide, glide, glide. After that, when the kid, she or he herself says, I want to go on my feet, then you hold him or her the board, and then she can go on the feet, right? Because then she's mentally ready.
And it's always difficult to hold them back because they're like horses before the start and they want to go. I agree, you totally have to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, then that's why I say go on the belly, right? And also there, something that's very important that I also have to enforce discipline is don't speak when a person is starting, right? Don't motivate when I'm at the dock and you just in the moment when I'm about to go and jump on the board and behind me somebody else, yeah, you can do this. That's not good, right? Because you kill the motivation of the person. You kill his concentration. That's why I always say, when you start at the dock, if you have feedback for the guy who tries or her or the lady who tries, wait till she returns, talk. Once you touch the board, there is no more thinking. There is just, you just go. Your brain, your muscle memory just goes, right? So once you touch the board, you put it in the water, you set it right, you push, you jump on. There's no thinking involved there. There's no intellectual thinking involved there. It's only, everything is automatic.
And that's another parallel to golf and tennis, where it needs to be silent before you hit.
Yeah. And that I think is very important. So when the kids are like in the pool and they're splashing around and they're, yeah, you do this and that, I say, don't give him or her tips when she's starting. It has to be, you have to focus. It's very important. And you can see that with the kids yesterday, like one girl, one guy was swimming back and she wanted to go. The balance of the atmosphere balance has to be correct. And that's why also in pump foiling at ISVZ, we have one instructor, maximum 6 students. And I normally divide the students in two groups, three people on one raft and 3 people on the other raft. So the people who are returning, they can go practice. And the people who are beginners, they get to go on the belly. And interesting enough, I mean, in the beginning, I didn't go on the belly. And I don't know if you know Joe Mega Pro. So when we started in 2020, there was this New Zealand family who lived in Küsnacht. And the father was from New Zealand and they had three kids. And the son was also learning to foil and they were building their own boards and everything. And he also taught his kids always on the belly. And now I know why. I mean, he's a smart guy. It totally makes sense.
We're going to link Surfari, you said, in the comments. You said that with the ISVZ, you go to Tiefenbrunnen, right?
No, ISVZ is in Mütenkee. And ISVZ, you have to be a member of ISVZ. And now what I really hope what is going to happen is that the Mütenkee body will become a place where you can also rent pump foils. I mean, that's Florian Gander, who runs the Mütenkee body, he doesn't run the Mütenkee body, he runs Subkultur. And Subkultur is this stand-up paddle renting place. And my goal is that we can practice in all the bodies of Zurich. We can practice pump foiling in the morning from 7 to 9 o'clock before the body opens.
Even in summer. So it's not a winter sport.
Yeah, in summer, of course, as well, especially also for teaching. But yeah, as my slogan is always, main season for pumping is the winter, because there are no people. Right? That's when if you're serious about pumping, you pump in winter.
I have a question about the growing part and it becoming mainstream and the difficulties that come with it. I'm new to the scene. I started pump foiling this year, actually, in February. And here in Bern, there is a scene, but it's not as easy accessible. Plus, I did some things. I did this dock review and some guys weren't happy about it because they were scared that there were too many people coming to these docks. And I'm a bit scared if it goes too mainstream that people are going to get protective of their spot. Not like you said, we want to have people come over and open source and whatnot. Do you see that could be a problem because the docs might be limited? Not in Zurich. Zurich, the whole lake is full of perfect docs, but in other areas.
I was one of the founding members of Foil Club Zürichsee. I was one of the founding members of the Foil Club that is going on in Greifensee. I'm trying to do the same with Erlenbach, with Gary Gearloose. What I always tell these people, what is very important, is speak to the local community, right? I mean, who is the owner of the dock? Does it belong to a rowing club? Does it belong to the municipality? Does it belong to the city of Bern? And then start talking to the local politicians, start talking to the local people who are engaged in the local water sport. So we already have issues with fish, with people who fish, right? So the people who fish, the fishers, the fishermen, they're there since ages, right? Their fishing has been there for hundreds of years, right? So they're like the bosses, right? And then you have to talk to these people and be friendly to them and say, okay, I don't want to unwind your line because I foiled into it. It's going to cost 60 francs, but still I want to foil. Right. So what's very important is this, shall I say, maybe a little bit American mentality that you just talk to each other. Right. And of course, people start becoming protective because we have this Gartenhag Denken in Switzerland. Right. And that's why I think it's so important to, enforce, communicate, advertise the open source mentality. Right. And the sharing is caring mentality. So if there's a dock in Bern, I would start a WhatsApp group. I would do the pump and grill version for Bern or some kind of other venue where you get together and you talk to each other and you start, involving other families, involving their kids. Talk to the Schulschwimmanlagen in Bern, get the kids into the pool, get the kids off the screen, into the pool, on the board. Right, Sunday morning, the swimming pools in the city of Zurich, they're all empty. Nobody's using the Schulschwimmanlagen. Why? There's no reason not for the people in Zurich who live in Zurich, who pay taxes in Zurich, that the kids cannot go and practice pump foil indoor, of course, supervised under an instructor. Why is the pool closed? So I also spoke to two other municipalities at the shore of the Lake of Zurich, Erlenbach and Küsnacht. They also have a pool. It's the same, struggle. Or the parents, they want to have their kids in the water, right? So I tell the parents, okay, dear parents, go and speak to the Gemeindeversammlung. And the people who are in the Gemeindeversammlung, tell them that the kids on Sunday morning, they could go pump foiling in winter in the pool. They could learn pump foiling. Also, some bodies like Seebad Zollikon, in the morning, you could go pump foiling from 7 to 9, right? You could do courses there. There's nobody there. They're cleaning the body. So there are a lot of spots. It's just compromise. It's compromise. It's discussion. A lot of it is compromise.
It becomes like a little bit like surfing, because there is a, you probably know it since you've been to New Zealand, like often there is this mentality like, don't tell to anybody like this perfect spot because I don't want too many people to go there. And there is no such thing. Like, even if it's like, it's not too crowded. Like, it's just like more people to connect with, like more community. So yeah, I like this mentality. And in terms of gear, because I'm interested, and perhaps also the listeners are.
Go ahead, Kyle. You said that people being protective and whatnot, and then Zeno, you intervened that in Bern. Well, in Bern, we have the Aare, which is super long, and you could easily build docks there. It's not a big deal. Sometimes there is infrastructure that you could use already, but as you said, it's the problem of talking to people. Who is in charge? There is no such thing as a Verein, a community says, we are going to talk to and we are the people that can be addressed about issues.
Yeah, that really depends on individuals. And okay, I can say that's something I'm good at, right? I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at picking up all kinds of different characters and engaging them. So you need a community leader. Every community kind of needs a community leader in an open source kind of way, right? And then once you get it going, all of a sudden you will have more than one community leader. Everybody, you will have branches, right? Like forking in software. So you will fork the stuff. Keep talking to the people in Bern and just try to engage, and you will have people who are interested. And then, you know, try to get a permission somewhere to build a dock, right? Or if they say it's not allowed, try to create a mobile dock that you can take away again, right? And then we have a concept of a mobile dock. Yeah, but the rivers in Switzerland, there's still a lot of potential there, because starting against the river is actually easier. So if you start in the Limmat and you have a small current, you don't have to push the board because the current stabilizes the board.
Yeah, that is so cool. Plus, and I have a question about that, because we at AMAT, we have the same thing. I made a little doc review about that. Once you started and you're on foil, the current shouldn't be an issue anymore because you're moving relatively to the speed of the water, right?
Well, I don't know. When I pumped in the Limmat, when you start against the current, I think it's easier. But when you do the turn and you go back with the current, you have to catch the speed of the current. So that can be tricky. I think it's not as easy as in the lake, but it's just another practice, right? It's totally manageable.
It's exactly that, but I don't understand. I thought you might, because once you're on foil, you're moving relatively to the water. And of course, compared to the land, you're not as fast when going against the current, but compared to the water if you compare it to the water, then you shouldn't be faster or slower. You have your foil speed. And once you turn, you should have the same speed. But then again, sometimes, yeah, you have to catch up a bit. I thought you'd understand that. I'm not sure.
You need to keep in mind that, in my opinion, when you're turning, first of all, you already lose some speed. And then, you need to, as you said, you need to match the speed of the water. So if you're going against the current, let's say that the current is like 5 kilometers an hour, right? And then you're going at, 15. I'm throwing numbers. But then when you turn, now compared to the ground speed, you're going at 5, and then you have to go at 20 or 15, whatever, because you need to add on top the speed of the current. That's why, as you said, it's trickier, because you need to change the speed.
If I may add here, right here, like, this is also something for, again, the tinkerers, right? So there are two guys out there, the team of Ike, he's a microelectronics student, and they're working on this firmware and this board that they attach to the pump foil board, where they measure the angle of the board, the GPS position, the speed, they measure all kinds of things, right? So what you could do is you could add the speed of the river into it. And then you could calculate all of this. And that's another reason, something I've been advertising for a long time. And it's, of course, it's a dream, official ETH pump foil professorship, right? And why that? Because you have material science, you have 3D printing, you have this hacking, this microelectronic stuff for the chips that measure the speed of the board. You have the sports part. You can test it every day on the lake. You have carbon layering. Anyway, and basically, just out of these courses that we give, all these interested people come and they all start tinkering. And that's something really great. And that's also why I think these foil boards can, and this equipment, it should be able to produce this equipment in Europe, right? Because if you look at On shoes, the On jogging shoe, they now have a new kind of blow up plastic print thing where they have a container and they produce the shoe in front of your eyes, right? So with carbon printing, I don't know, in a couple of years, maybe something similar could happen.
Super interesting. Yeah, I saw that you want that professorship at ETH or university. It's actually interesting because Rob von Roll, Robin Rose, who was on episode number 8, he wrote an essay as his Maturarbeit, like his high school finishing essay about pump foiling.
Yeah, I mean, there was another guy here in Zurich who also wrote the Maturarbeit about pump foiling, and he also is at MNG, so he's also mathematically talented. Yeah, of course, the mathematically talented people, they like the aspects of pump foiling because you have a lot of engineering tasks that you have to, that are challenging.
Let's take what you just said before about production in Europe. You have been an ambassador for Indiana for a long time. Maybe you can tell us how that happened. You told this little story before about meeting them windsurfing, and now you changed producer. Maybe you can share about that as well.
Yes. I was now an ambassador with Indiana for 4 years. We really could build up this community in Zurich. What I'm really interested in is, you know, continuing the development of the foils in Europe. Sam from Onyx Foils, he shapes the foils in his lab in Tarifa. So if you go there, if you go to Tarifa, you should visit him, right? So he's there. He builds the molds himself. The carbon fiber comes from Germany. The new foils, they have a wood core. So the wood core is CNC cut from wood that is organically growing in Spain, right? So they take the wood core and they layer it with carbon fibers. What the nice thing there is, if you buy a foil from Onyx, a front wing, and then you decide you don't want it anymore, you can give it back. They will discount you for the new foil. They will discount you the old foil you're giving back. So let's say 250 euros, you will be discounted on the new foil you buy, right? So it's like, you know, it's recyclable. You trade in an old foil against a new one. And he has this table of how much he will give you back if you trade in the foil. That's something I really like, right? I think that's very innovative. And then he also has the concept of if you do trash collection at the beach, you get another 5%. So you can collect up to, I don't know, 4 or 5 bags of trash, and that will give you another 30% discount. So you go to the beach or you go to the shores of Lake of Geneva or Zurich, and you fill a bag of trash, or you go diving, you collect the trash out of the water, and you take a picture, you join his WhatsApp group, and he will give you a discount for that. It's just a new concept, and it's everything. And so, yeah, so all the foils are all everything is made in Tarifa or within Germany or Spain. He also does adapters, right? So another thing I want to do is an adapter. So this is, again, the open source mentality, right? That you can connect Axis with Armstrong, with Indiana, with Onyx, with F1, with Duotone, with Gong, of course. You have these adapters that you are at the beach and you say, okay, let's try the Condor XL together with the new Axis mask. Or then you say, I want to test the F1 fuselage with the Indiana board, stuff like that. So it really becomes interoperable. I think there are a lot of tinkerers in the pump foiling community that have a lot of manual capacity or intellect in their hands, where they can basically, that can be used. I'm also now, I could organize to be a speaker at this composite meetup in Tettnang in Germany on the 28th, 29th of January.
Oh, with the Faude, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there a lot of composite manufacturers will be there. So if any listener or you guys are interested in composite manufacturing, I think that would be a very great event to network.
Awesome. And you talked about gear, Indiana, and what are you using for teaching? Because that could be something interesting too.
For teaching, yeah. For teaching, of course, the classic. And here is a big shout out to Gunnar, right? So I think one of the big guys, and a big thank you to him as well, one of the big guys.
Gunnar is the guy who designs foils for Indiana, is that correct?
Exactly. Gunnar Biniás. He's a X-time Spanish champion in, I think, wing foiling, and I don't know, kite foiling, something like that. He is a very out-of-the-box thinker. He is one of the geniuses in foiling, right? He doesn't go mainstream. He always thinks a couple of years ahead. So he came up with this idea of the 1100p pump foil. And that was the one I started wing foiling on in 2020. So I started wing foiling with an inflatable board in 2020. And then I moved over I used the same equipment for pump foiling, and I just bought a new board. So I've been teaching with the 1100p. And now I'm teaching also with the 1190 of Indiana. And the next I will be trying to teach with the 1600 of Onyx, right? I'm curious how that will be. It's a little bit smaller, less volume, less surface area. But for kids, I think it's going to be okay. And one important thing I also think is important for teaching is when you crash in the water, the foil has to stand. The foil has to be floatable. So when you swim back to the dock, the nose of the board has to be pointed up to the air. If the foil is too heavy and it always sinks back and the foil and the board is again parallel to the water, it's much more difficult and more cumbersome to pick the foil out of the water.
Yeah, for me with my back, it's really comfortable if you can just lift the board up on its nose.
Exactly. That's why it's important that the front wings are built well and they're floatable and they're not too heavy so the board goes down again. And there's many little details that are so important. I never taught beginners with axis foils, for example. I think, of course, the 1150, I think, is good as well for beginners, but I never instructed with that. I only instructed so far only with Indiana, 1100P and the 1190. 75 centimeters mast. Long boards, like 105 meter boards, like the favorite board of Linus, I think is good for big people. And one thing is also very interesting. If you teach on a large board, right, the people are they can make more mistakes. They can have their feet all over the place. And then you say, okay, now we're going to condition you a little bit more. Now we're going to put you on a hydro skate. And then you put the person on a hydro skate and all of a sudden she can't have her foot off the board. Otherwise, it's not going to work. The student gets disciplined by the size of the board. So if the board is smaller and you give him a hydro skate, all of a sudden, woo, this works, but it's so small.
For me, when I teach, I always give them the small boards to start with because it's, I think it's easier for them to place the feet in the right position. They don't have many choices. You have to stay, you have to get the feet where they belong. Other, and if you don't do that, you step off the board. I have just one more question on my list, and that is the wake feet have. In one of your videos, of your old videos, you say that you're the official distributor of the wake feet hats. Is that still a thing?
Yes, the hat. People are still registering for it. I mean, not everybody registers, but a lot of people still register. So if I get a registration, I will mail out the hat, or I will bring it to the person at the next pump and grill. Yeah, that's a thing. Yes.
How can one register and where? Because I might do that.
My website is Pump Zurich without www. It's just https://pump.zurich. And there is a link challenge. And under that link, there is the registration link for the Wake Thief challenge.
And how does one show it? Does it need to be video, or do they pump in front of you?
No. You upload either. You share a link to a video that shows you pumping for 1 minute. So you can share your Instagram post or WhatsApp, or you can upload it on OneDrive or whatever. I then just communicate that back to Devin in the USA, and he's then very happy. And he is, of course, also now he's working a lot on his beta foil.
Well, Kyle, when I look at my list, I'm through. Do you have any more questions for Zeno?
I don't. Besides, when can we meet? Like, I guess you're going to be at pretty much all the pump and grills. And then beside your classes, are you planning other events?
This Thursday will be a sauna event at Küsnacht at Streme. So if anybody's interested, please come and pump, and then we all go to the sauna. The next event will be at the last weekend of June. There is always this Zeno's pump foil, whatever party in Erlenbach at the rowing club. Then there are the pump and grills, which are every month, which are organized by Andre and Patrick. So I'm sure I'm going to show up there as well. And then, of course, if you guys come over, I mean, what I'm always interested in is bringing over the people from, you know, overseas, whatever, from Greece, from Hawaii, and meet up in Zurich so we can continue to communicate the spirit of pump foiling of Switzerland. Because, I think in terms of pump foil density, Switzerland has one of the highest pump foil densities in the world, if not the highest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why
yeah,
is that?
The highest.
Because we have so many lakes. We have 1,500 lakes. And I think also because we have a very... Sorry?
The cash thing, that's an aspect for sure.
The cash
the money.
Thing, yeah, of course. We have high incomes for to buy. But also there, it's also something I told Indiana, we need a pump foil set, a starter set that doesn't cost more than 1,500 francs. And in the beginning, the pump foil set cost 2,500 francs. And then I said, it's too expensive. The people will not enter. And now we got a starter set. So also the Onyx starter set, it costs 1,500 francs. You can, you know, when you start pump foiling, you can also start together. So the two people buy one board. And then if they both get addicted, they can both buy their own equipment. But in the beginning, go rent with Surfari, go rent with Gary Gearloose, go rent with Waterman Sports in Kilchberg, go and test the equipment at Indiana headquarters, go to the different locations, to the different shops. And that's why I also really very big kudos to you guys, because you're making this awesome podcast, right? This is another thing that it just happened, right? And it's crazy how this dynamic is just continuing, right? And I think podcasts, I mean, I'm listening to every single episode you're creating because it's interesting to get to know the people. Again, you're bringing new input into the community, into the sport. And it's, again, it's an inspiration, I think.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Zena, for these kind words. Well, if Kyle, if you're done with your list, I'm done with mine. Is there anything you want to add, Zeno? Something important people need to know?
Yeah, so one thing I noted here is, you know, Elon Musk, he reuses his rockets, right? So that's how he advertises it, right? So I'm thinking, reuse your foil, right? And that's one of the reasons I'm interested in Onyx, where you can send back your old foil and you get a new one. And they discount the new foil for that.
Does it need to be an Onyx foil that you send back, or can you send back any foil?
No, it has to be. It has to be an Onyx foil, because he will then, when you send the Onyx foil back, he will pimp it up again, right? He will take it back and he will polish it again and make it look like new, and he will resell it again. And that's really cool, right? And I think things like that could happen somewhere else as well. But because he has all the tools from zero, so he has the molds, he has, you know, he has the carbon fiber, he has the 3D printing for the molds, right? He has the layering, he has the wood core. It's everything is, each piece is designed from the bottom up.
Maybe we can certainly add the link. Maybe we can add some photos or videos as well. If you could provide them later on.
If you go through my blog by Pomp Zürich, right, and you go down a couple of entries, you will see Annika, she's also a mechanical engineer, she's a very good windsurfer as well, holding a freshly baked front wing, 1600 front wing, and she holds it like a piece of loaf, like a baker who just baked a wonderful piece of bread. When you understand, I mean, all the foils that come from China, they're all manually polished, right? But they're just polished at a labor force of 5 cents per hour. This is, of course, not 5 cents per hour because it's Europe, but it's made in Europe, and you will see the finish is different. The bakery of foils, this idea, I think, is wonderful. Go through the blog, but if you have any questions, you need any photos or anything, just send me a WhatsApp message. I will send you all the details that you need.
Thank you very much. That is so cool. Well, then all... is left for me is tell you what the next episode is going to be. We're going to talk to Michi Naff, Roham, I think it is, on Instagram. He's a team rider and developer of Enzis. And I think the main topic is going to be paroing, because that's all what his videos are about at the moment. That's what everyone is interested about. Yeah. That.
Paroing is super cool. Paroing is super cool.
Right? Have you tried it before?
Yes. I bought one. I bought a BRM board riding Maui wing, a 4 square meter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
And you can re-rig it. So Greg sent me an email, the developer of BRM, where you can re-rig the lines and you can go upwind even better. And I don't know if I'll ever wing again. I think I'm going to completely switch to paroing.
That is so cool.
But I mean, I'm 50 years old next year. So, I don't think I will want to learn any front loops or stuff like that. I just want to ride. I exercise, right?
It's really that foiling sensation that we all love. That's just what we need, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Zeno. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to link everything down in the comments. Yeah. And see you guys.
And just one last thing, just to remember everybody who's watching that we're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, in case you just want to hear our voice.
And the other way around, if you're just listening, you can actually watch it on YouTube. We share it on Guys and my account, but you can find shared playlists where you can find all the episodes. So cool.
Yep.
All right. I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.